This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Good morning. Let me just take a look around here. All you beautiful people. God loves you so much. There's so much inside of each and every one of you. If you could hear the longing of the voice of the Spirit of the Lord calling you unto Himself, wanting to fill you to overflowing. His love is more than enough. It's an honor always, and it's a privilege to be able to stand and speak the word of a living God. I take it seriously, as we all do. We serve a powerful, powerful God. And if you haven't experienced that, I invite you to today open your heart. Not your minds, because the mind, we're going to get into that. But open the heart and let the Spirit of the Lord begin to move and just touch and begin to awaken within you His very love. Jesus is all we need, right? He's all we need. Thank you for those that are agreeing. You know, we come together in unity, the body of Christ. We hook arms. We become warriors. We're strong. We're powerful in the name of Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ, right? Because He strengthens us. He strengthens the core of who we were created to be. He is all that we need and all that we desire. Today, we are going to be talking about three different things. When I read the Word of God, and Pastor Hal had shown me what he wanted me to speak on today, you look at it and you go, oh, okay. How am I going to move in this, Lord? And this is what I do. I read it, I chew on it, I meditate on it, and then I say, Lord, this is then, how does that apply to us today? What can we take from this that we can use in our life today, right? So, we're gonna open in prayer. And there's lots going on right now, so I'm just going to ask that you have a heart open as we begin to pray, and then we're going to go ahead and jump in. Father God, we just come before You right now, washed in the blood, thanking You for all that You have done in and through us, thinking that You called us to Yourself and that we heard and that we answered and then You filled us and You gave us the Holy Spirit and then You began to move within us and teach us and show us the things that You needed us to see. So, Father, I thank You first and foremost for the cross, as Jason said, for the blood that was shed, for the body that was broken. I thank You that You have given us all authority on this earth in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, to speak and declare those things that are not as though they were, to call out upon the name of our Lord, trust and know in faith that You will answer our prayers. Father, this morning I ask that You fill my heart, You fill my mouth. I ask that You touch every single soul in this place. I pray right now that any blinders on minds would be removed. I ask that ears would be opened, eyes would see, hearts would be on fire. I come against anything that would try to hinder or block or twist the word of the living God. And I break its hold and its power now in Jesus' name. We honor you today through your word. We honor you today through this message. We glorify you. We thank you for our pastor, Hal. We ask that you be with him in his travels, that you instill in him all that he needs, Father God, that he be refreshed and healed and made whole. We also lift up Texas, Father God, and all that's taking place there. We pray for every heart to be mended, healed, restored, and made whole. We pray that you wrap your loving arms around them, that you be with them, Father God, that you touch them, and those that don't know you, that they would come to know you and filled in Jesus' name. We thank you. Amen. Amen. So today, we are going to be going into Luke 5:32, and it's going to go in through 6:11. I'm not going to put it up on the screen just yet. I'm going to get into just talking about it a little bit. And I'm going to share with you what I believe the Lord was showing me through all of this. There are three things that the Lord spoke as I read. Now, one of the things that he said to me was, there's a mindset in this that's happening in these scriptures. A mindset of the scribes, Pharisees, a mindset of the disciples. In all of this, imagine that you're growing up in a lifestyle where the culture is the law, and everything you do is based on the law. And you can't get away from it. It's all you know. It's what dictates in every area of your life. And then Jesus comes, and he begins to unravel that mindset. He begins to touch people in such a way that it either angers them, confuses them, because they're trying to match everything up to this mindset that they have. This is all that they know. In Luke 5:32, I'm just going to speak that one right now. He says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Now, if you'd been following the law, when you heard this, the first thing you'd be thinking, I'm fine then, because I'm not a sinner. I know the law. I'm obedient to the law. I follow the law. I'm good. Now, I'm sure the disciples weren't thinking that, but I believe the Pharisees probably were. So Jesus begins to tell them and starts out by giving them a parable. And the parables always messed with them. I want you to take this, and I want you to start to think about your own life. Now, remember, the culture, the lifestyle was completely different back then. They grew up knowing the law and trying to fulfill something that was almost literally impossible to fulfill. Now, think about yourself, the mindset that you grew up with. What kind of traditions? What was the culture, the background, your family traditions? They all dictate to us, and they all put us in a place that we believe that all of that wrapped up is who we are. And we don't know any other way because that's the way it was, right? And that's the way it is. It's been ingrained in us. So there are three things that I came and I got out of this. The mindset, reformation, and identity. The mindset brings us to reformation as we allow the Spirit of the Lord to change us. Reformation will bring us into who our true identity is going to be. Being trapped in your mindset is going to keep you out of reformation, and it's not going to be able to bring forth your true identity. The Old Testament brought the law, and the New Testament brings us into the Spirit and the life. Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, I am the truth. Well, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. The law was written to set up boundaries for mankind because of the intent of their heart. They knew no boundaries, so God had to set up boundaries. He brought that through the Ten Commandments. So without the law, there's always chaos. Take a look at our world right now. When we don't obey a law, when there is no law, men will do whatever they want to do, and they'll call it good. The Spirit of God brought in grace, mercy, compassion, and he brings the heart of God into all of that. The scriptures that affect us today, do they apply to us today? Jesus was taking what they had learned and not trying to dispose of the law because he came to fulfill, but to bring life with mercy and compassion. The law was added, oral traditions by man. So we had the law, and then we had the Pharisees and the scribes that added the oral traditions of that just to make it even more so that you don't stumble. But in every way, they stumbled because they couldn't fulfill it. It was literally impossible to fulfill every single thing that was written there. Living your life like that just puts you in bondage. So, thinking about this, they were trying to protect the people. They weren't really thinking about what they were doing because they were definitely putting burdens on people. But they weren't thinking that that's what they were doing. So we're going to take a look at the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to expand on this a little bit about what's going on today through them. The first commandment was, I am the Lord your God, and you shall not have strange gods before me. Today, there are many strange gods. If you take a walk around New York, and if there's any New Yorkers, I'm sorry, it is full of ancient gods that they brought in, that they have statues, they put everywhere. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But we see this everywhere. It's a given. People do it without even thinking, and they think it's perfectly okay. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day. But we're too busy. There's too much to do. We just got to get things done. Honor your mother and your father, do we? The elderly today are not even honored and respected. In some countries, yes, but in the United States of America, not much. You shall not kill. Not only do we kill with our words, but we curse those we love and those that we don't. We shall not commit adultery. That's totally acceptable today. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. Now, these are all good, and they do set all the boundaries. They set the moral law for us not to overstep. The outcome of what these Ten Commandments, without them, they could bring into a person's life chaos. We need boundaries. So let's look at today. What used to be right is considered wrong. And in the world we live in today, are there any of the Ten Commandments being kept, valued, honored, and respected? What used to be good is now evil, what we've allowed. Today, it's okay for a man and a woman to live together, not married. These are mindsets we're talking about right now, how we have these mindsets that this stuff is okay. It's okay to swear. It's okay to confront another person aggressively without compassion because your rights have been stepped on. Your mindset affects everything. It's going to affect your attitude, your heart, because out of the heart flows the issues of life. It's going to affect your transformation. It's going to affect your growth, your understanding. And if you refuse to change, there's no transformation. There may be an outward appearance of change, but behind closed doors, nothing has changed. The mindset is still the same. In Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The law is needed, but with that we bring the Spirit of God, His Word, His heart, which brings us into mercy and compassion. It brings us life. Jesus was bringing us into reformation. When He was speaking to them, He was hitting mindsets because of everything they knew and everything that they understood. And then the next thing He did, He came in as a reformer. He was going to reform what they knew by unraveling that mindset and taking them out of there. He had to take them out of there. He had to get them out of that place so that He could pour into them what He needed them to hear and to receive for change to take place. Because without change, the Word of God is not going to benefit anybody. The cross won't benefit anybody. It's change inwardly in the heart that brings us to where we need to be in that new creation in Christ. So reformation is actually the active process of changing a religious, political, or societal institution for the better. It's called reformation. Jesus was reforming the mindset of how they understood the law, not changing it, but bringing us into the place of the heart, relationship. Transformation comes when we allow our minds to be reformed, our hearts to be touched. Reformation brings us into our identity as we allow our mindsets to be changed, our hearts to be touched. Let's look at Luke 5. We'll start at 36, and we're going to read through 39. Got that up there, okay. And He gave them this illustration. No one rips up a new garment to make patches for an old, worn-out one. If you tear up the new to make a patch for the old, it will not match the old garment. And who pours new wine into old wineskin? If someone did, the old wineskin would burst and the new wine would be lost. New wine must always be poured into new wineskin. Yet you say the old ways are better, and you refuse to even taste the new that I bring. So these scriptures Jesus is telling us to understand we have to allow change to take place. We need new wineskins. When we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, there should be change. Otherwise, nothing's changed. Are we still doing the same things? Are we still talking the same way we talked before? Are we still looking at things the way we looked at them before? We've not received new wineskin. We're trying to pour new wine into old wineskins. And it's not being retained. So I'm going to talk a little bit about new wineskins, because we're going someplace here. We're talking about the mindsets. There has to be an unraveling first. The new wineskin is what we get when we receive Him as our Lord and our Savior. That old creation, that old person has to go. It can't stay anymore. But if we choose not to let that new wineskin come in, because we can do that, we can choose to stay right where we are. I'm coming to church. I'm doing what's right. I'm being a good person. I'm living the way I think I need to live. But there's no real change taking place in the heart. You're still talking the way you used to talk. You're still living the way you used to live. There's really no change. And maybe one or two things has changed, but every time you hear something, it's like, it's good, that was a good word. But then you leave and it's can't even remember what the word was. So ask, do I have new wineskin? I'm just going to talk a little bit about the wineskin. When new wine, during the fermentation process, it pressurizes the container. It's fresh wine that's poured into new wineskin, and as long as that's being poured into new wineskin, there's no problem. You're fine. Because the skin is supple enough to stretch, thus accommodating the expansion of the liquid. But if new wine is being poured into an old wineskin, it's lost its elasticity, and the wineskin bursts at the seams. Now, this is just a small definition of what a wineskin does, new and old. Now, think about you being that wineskin. The skin itself was either made of goat, pig, or cow hides, and it was thoroughly cleansed. Now, think about us today. We have to be prepared to carry his presence, so we're washed by the blood. We're cleansed within. The shaping and the sewing, all of that, we're then shaped. We're being put on the potter's wheel, and we allow the Lord to shape us, to prune us, to prepare us to be used for his kingdom. And then there's the waterproofing and the finishing. We're given the armor of God, his gifts to push back the enemy, and a protection, a covering, the blood. I'm going to share a story of how it's a preparation of a new wineskin and what happened with me. So when I came into the kingdom, as I've shared before, I was so hungry. I couldn't get enough. I was almost obsessed with the Spirit of the Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was so hungry, and I desired to be in his presence every moment that I could. Whenever the doors of the church were open, I was there. At every altar line, I was there. It didn't matter whether I needed prayer. It didn't matter if there was anything wrong. I just wanted that. So this one particular night, I went and went up for prayer, as I always do. This is a Pentecostal church, okay? So we're a bunch of holy rollers. And I had hands laid on me, and I went down under the power of the Lord, which I typically did. During this process, usually the Lord would speak to me, or I would just sense his presence all over me, and I would just wait. But this particular time, I just waited, and I wasn't sensing anything, so I asked the Lord, may I get up? And immediately, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, no. And when he said that, I felt electricity hit my big toe, and why it hit my big toe, I'm not quite sure. But it hit my big toe, and it traveled all the way up, in and through me, and landed in the center of my hands. I felt glued to the floor that I could not move. The only thing that would move was my head. Now, I was not frightened, because I was very curious, and I loved the Spirit of the Lord, and I loved to feel his presence, and I wanted all that he had, and every part of me just clung to him. So I'm laying on the floor, and I'm curious, what is in my hands? Because they felt full. So the only thing that would move was my head. So I looked. Well, oh, I have to tell you this. I forgot to tell you this part. When I went down under the power and I felt that electricity hit my toe and it traveled all the way through, the entire church disappeared and I went into this white light, or it felt like a room. I'm not sure what it was, but I know I went into the realm of the Spirit, and white was all around me. I couldn't see anybody. My eyes were wide open. I couldn't see anybody. I couldn't see any chairs. Couldn't see anything. It was just white light. And at the end of my feet stood an angel, but I could only see up to his waist. And I wasn't scared. I had this complete peace. I just knew that I was in the presence of the Lord. So out of curiosity, I looked, and in my hands were what I describe as balls of electricity. And out of that came rays shooting out. Now, I'm a baby in the Lord, so I don't know the scriptures behind this and if this is even biblical. But I went with it because I had peace and I trusted God and I knew my Father loved me. But if you want to know, that's actually in Habakkuk 3, where rays are shooting out of his hands, and that's where his healing power is. So as the Lord touched me for the next hour and a half, I laid there and let him do what he needed to do. And I'm not going to get into the specifics. But at the end of it all, when it was all said and done, I sat up and my insides felt pure, cleansed, like I'd been scraped clean, like all the debris of the world, all the hurts of life, all the traumas, totally gone, totally gone. And I felt pure. I had new wineskin. I allowed the Spirit of the Lord to move in and through me. Now, not everybody's going to get God, I think, likes doing things like that to me. I don't know why, but I think he gets a kick out of doing things like that. He's very holy, yes, but he enjoys me because I let him do whatever he wants to do, and I do not question it when I know that it's him. So in all of this, I tell you this, to tell you that we have to allow the Spirit of the Lord to touch us, to change us, to move upon us, to cleanse us, to remove the old mindsets that dictate to us, that tell us this is the way it should be. The mindset can be a trap for us, and the enemy will use it to keep us there. He's going to use it because that's the one place he attacks, is the mind. So if you have a mindset and you're constantly hearing things over and over again, maybe you've gone through some hurts, maybe you've gone through some offenses, maybe you're carrying unforgiveness, whatever it may be, the mind will continue to tell you all about that, right? And the enemy loves it, because if he can keep you there, that's the place he wants you. He doesn't care that you're saved. What he cares about is that you change. He cares that you get transformed. He cares that the mindset gets changed. He cares that you find your identity. Because the minute you do, that's when you become the real threat. If you're serving the Lord and you're only doing the optimal stuff, just the minimal things, you're not a threat. He doesn't care. That's okay. But the minute you begin to move in the things of God, the minute that you take it seriously, that you watch your words, you watch your thoughts, you watch the way that you speak and the things that you say over people, and you allow him to take criticalness away from you, judgmental away from you, those are all mindsets that we begin to move in and speak in, and we don't even realize we're doing it half the time. Ask the Spirit of the Lord, which is what I did, show me those things that displease you, Lord. Show me those things that keep me out of your perfect will, that keep me in the hands of the enemy. Because the enemy will use you and have a field day with you. The tormenting nights, the sleepless nights, the endless thoughts, the hurts, the traumas, all of it. He wants to keep you right there. The mindset has to change, and you can't be delivered from a mindset. It has to be renewed. The mind has to be renewed. When we don't, as I said before, when we don't let the Spirit of God come in and renew that mind, we do it by the reading of the Word. We do it by relationship with the Lord. We do it by getting with life groups and becoming a part of that and letting those support systems come in when we're going through rough times and not staying away from people when we're going through the rough times, but coming together when we're having a rough time, asking them to pray for you, asking for them to lift up your arms, because that's what it's about. It's about community. It's about unity. And think about it. The more we come together, the more we lift each other's arms up, the harder it is for the enemy to penetrate. But if you isolate yourself, if you keep yourself in a place where you're feeling bad and you don't want people to see it because you don't want people to think that you're just not spiritual enough. That is such a lie. Spiritual enough, it's all about loving the Lord. And he moves in and through that. And he begins to show you how he wants to use you, what he wants you to do in Christ, and where he wants you to be. The mindset has to change. So think about where you are and where is it that I can change in my mind? What has a hold of me that keeps me from moving forward? So Jesus was bringing them from a mindset of hypocrisy, traditions, legalism, and religion. And he was bringing them into compassion, love for one another, relationship, the honoring of one another, the heart of the Father. He's telling us in the scripture, the old life has passed away. You can't stay where you were for change to come. The mind has to be renewed. And these things happen when we allow them to change. Our attitude changes. Our heart changes. The mindset changes. Our perception changes. Our language, we hear differently, we see differently, and we love differently. You notice that when the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of you, that you love and you love differently? There's something that takes place within the heart that you begin to look and see. Even now, as I look out and I see all of you, all I feel is the love of the Father. It's the love of God. He loves you. And his desire is that you would not leave here the same, that you would leave here changed. Your heart would be changed. The inner part of your core and everything he created about you is beautiful. He says, you're fearfully and you're beautifully made. He says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew all about you, every hair on your head, the color of your eyes, the way that you were going to move and speak. And he comes in and he adds to that. He removes the things that the world tried to put on you. He removes the things that family tried to put on you, that culture tried to say you were, the society said you were. He takes that and he begins to prune it, cut it off of you, little by little, so that you can begin to be filled to overflowing with him, and then you shine. There is a light within you that shines. You know, I've talked with people that used to be in the occult, witches, practiced, all that horrible stuff. And you know what they told me? They can smell Christians and they can see them coming because we have a aroma. And there's a light that's all around us. All around us. They see the light and they know that's a Christian. Imagine that's who is in you. That's who is a part of you. That's who has his being. Think about this. This is a powerful thing. I think sometimes we get really complacent and we begin to think, I receive the Lord. I receive what he did and that's the end of it. No, it's not. You shine. You glow. And you smell beautiful. And the enemy cannot stand that. So he's going to do everything to keep you in that mindset. He's going to do everything to keep you so that you do not grow. He doesn't want that to happen. And I got to tell you, 32 years ago when I received the Lord, it was the best thing I ever did. My life is so full of him. I live and I breathe for him. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, as we all do. But I got to tell you, in the end, it's him. It's always him. The mindset has to change. There has to be new wineskin. There has to be a change within. Where am I? So, Jesus is a man of authority. When he speaks, things change. That same authority resides within you. You want things to change? Begin to speak it out. Begin to declare it. Begin to prophesy. Begin to say those things that are not as though they were. I speak to the things that I do not understand. When my son was growing up, we, from the age about 12 on, we had nothing but trial after trial after trial after trial. And I'm a born-again Christian, filled with the Spirit, and I'm on fire. And I am all about Jesus. And I'm watching my son doing the things he shouldn't be doing. Getting into trouble, and I mean trouble. And everybody around me would tell me he's not going to amount to anything. You know, he's look at him, he's just trouble. And I'd be like, don't you say that. Don't you speak that over my son's life. I won't come into agreement with those words because he belongs to God. He is a child of God. I don't care if he's not looking like it right now. I'm speaking into that future. His presence is right here, and maybe he's doing these things, and I'm not in denial, but I know what my Father says over my son. And I will declare the promises of God into his life so that he will fulfill what God has for him, regardless of what the world is throwing at him right now, regardless of the trials that he is going through, regardless that he's locked up behind bars right now. I do not care. I will side. My words will declare the promises of God over my son. I will speak into that. So I thank you, Father, that he walks in your righteousness. I thank you, God, that he walks in your truth. I thank you he is a warrior for Christ and he will slay the dragon. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against him will prosper. And I bind the forces of darkness in every assignment and every strategy of Satan. And this is how I would pray for my son. And even when the calls would come and say, and I'd say, don't talk to me about that. That is not the promises of God over my son. Now, family members, friends, they may not agree with the change that began to take place within me because I came from not doing any of this, being manipulating, controlling, and, you know, lots of baggage. I came from all of that to the Lord getting a hold of me and changing me from the inside out. And my hunger and my desire when I saw him moving and I realized, oh my gosh, this is real. Jesus, real. I can touch him. I can feel him. I can smell him. I can hear him. I never knew I could do these things. So you bet I ran to the altar. You bet I clung on to him. Because everything in my world spoke the opposite of all of that. So yeah, friends and family kind of dwindled. But I held on. And I didn't care. I prayed for them, right? I'm missing part of my message here, but that's okay. Okay. Wow. We're going to jump ahead. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. I thank you. Because I feel like this is what the Lord was speaking, even though I have a message and I'm using the message, it's all a part of it. The mindset, getting rid of that mindset. I'm asking you today if there is a mindset within you that you find that you're judgmental, critical, anything in those areas and outside of those areas, things that you seem to do over and over and that you can't just go past that. Today, when we have the altar call, let that fire of God hit you. Please. Do not shy away. We can't deliver you from a mindset, but what we can do is we can agree with you that the Spirit of the Lord can begin to move and change everything inside of you. And you have to do something too. You have to get into the Word of God. You have to start spending time in relationship and in worship and in loving him. Because you have not noticed that this world is getting increasingly crazy. There is a lot going on out there. And so you need to be prepared as vessels of God. You are the temple of the Spirit of the living God. You need to be prepared for when things get haywire, when things start going crazy and you don't understand any of it. But if you know who you are in Christ, if you know the authority that you walk in, you can do all things in Christ because he strengthens you. If you know who you are in Christ. I have another story. Do you want to hear another story? I'm going to share with you, when I talk about mindsets, I'm going to go back a few years ago. Actually, back 32 years ago, when I talked about in the beginning when I came to the Lord, I had some stuff, you know, and insecurities. The insecurities that I had caused a lot of, you know, stress. And in those insecurities, I used the control and the manipulation and all that stuff to block everybody from seeing the real me, because that's what we do. So at this particular time in my life, about just, you know, I had dealt with all the insecurities. The Lord had delivered me of all this stuff. But remember, if you were here the last time, I said, we're like onions, we're layers. And even though he dealt with one layer, that layer may come up 10 years later, 15 years later, however many layers later. And this began to come up about a few years ago. An insecurity again came up out of nowhere. And I began to feel this strange insecurity over my marriage. Now, Gary and I, we've been together for 40 years. And we have our times, we have our seasons, like all married couples. But it's always been good, and we've always made it through. And he has stood with me through everything, through all of it, never grumbling or complaining. Thank you. To deal with me. So about this time, as these insecurities would come, it would cause a little havoc in our relationship because my insecurity was about him. And so I would say, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, right? And he would just sit there. And so this would go on, and then I'd give it to the Lord. Okay, I got to give it to the Lord. I got to give it. What's the matter with me? I got to give it to the Lord. I give it to the Lord. And then it would be great for 3 or 4 months, and then it would come back again. And this went on for about a year and a half. And then finally it stopped, and I thought, oh, finally it's gone. And we're in church. We brought different cars, so I drove home. He was supposed to be home. He told me that day, and I guess I didn't hear, or the enemy removed it from my mind. I don't know. But I got home, and I was waiting for Gary, which he had told me he had something to do, but I didn't hear it. So I'm waiting for him to come through the door. Sorry. But no Gary. He doesn't come through the door. 15 minutes go by, 20 minutes go by. Now I'm getting a little agitated. So I call him, and he's not answering. I call again, he's not answering. I wait a little bit while later. I call again, he's not answering. So now I'm sitting there, and here comes that insecurity. It just begins to wash up in me. So what ends up happening is that I'm sitting there, and I felt something come over me, but I wasn't paying attention spiritually because my soul was working. The soul loves to get us all caught up. That's your mind, will, and emotions. So suddenly, this thoughts begin to pour into me. He's cheating on you. That's what he's doing. And I'm like, I tried calling him again. No answer. I'm like, he's cheating on me. And the next thing I know, I go into this despising him. I am done. It's over. I'm going to take his clothes and throw them out on the front lawn. This is happening, folks. And this went on and on for a few minutes. And I mean, it was real. It was so real. And then he called. And the minute I heard his voice, everything shifted and changed, and whatever was there left. And I came back to myself. And I felt my love for my husband. And everything was back to normal. And I sat there and I went, Lord, what just happened? What just happened here? And this is what he told me. He said, Kathy, I allowed that to take place. And I'm like, why? He said, because I wanted to teach you. The Lord has always taught me through experiences. This is just the way he moves in me. He's been doing it for many, many years. I should have been used to it by now, but he caught me off guard. So he told me that this was a spirit of delusion. And he allowed that spirit to come on me. Because he said, this is what happens when mindsets are not renewed. This is what happens when we do not allow the Spirit of the Lord to have his way. The enemy will hook up to that, and maybe not as strong as this that he showed me, but it was very strong, and I believed every bit of it when I was going through it. But the minute I came back to myself, the reality was that wasn't true, and I knew it wasn't true. Is God more powerful than that? Absolutely. But he was teaching me, pay attention. Pay attention to where you're going. Pay attention to the things that rule your mind and want to control you and want to take you out. Now, I will say this. Did he allow, he allowed it for a teaching, and only for a teaching. He wasn't punishing me. He wasn't doing anything like that. He was showing me this is how the enemy works. This is what he will do. He will convince you, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're in the right, and you have every right to feel the way you do. Because it's a spirit attaching to the mind. That's where he attacks us the most, is the mind. So today, I'm over. If this is something that you feel has touched you, that maybe there's, it doesn't even have to be anything like what I just talked about. Because my husband is a man of God, and he's compassionate and kind and gentle and loving, and he has stood with me through everything. So there is no reason for me. But that was a teaching. So as we wrap this up, I'm going to open the altar. And if this message at all permeated your heart, or you said, you know what, there are some things I need to come into agreement with, things that I've been speaking out of my mouth that I shouldn't be, things that just have kind of led me astray and I go along with it, then I forget about it and I don't think about it. Your words are powerful, and they matter. So you're either going to speak blessings or a curse. You're either going to speak life or you're going to speak death over something. So these are the things that we take in consideration as we look at the mindset. And Jesus came as the reformer to bring us into a true identity in Christ. He wanted to reestablish the mind in him, through him, and for him, so that we could accomplish everything we need to accomplish on this earth while we're here. So today, if this is for you, I ask that you, even if it wasn't for you, you don't know. You may take this and go home and say, well, I didn't care for that message. And then a couple days later go, wow, maybe I should have, I see something there. Because now my mind is speaking to me and I need to pay attention to what it's saying. It's all important. The Lord dealt with my mouth first, things I was speaking, and then once I conquered that, I thought, oh, good, I'm good. The Lord said, okay, now we're going to go after your thoughts. I'm like, what? He says, yeah, your thoughts. What are you speaking? What you're speaking, you may not be speaking it, but you're thinking something up here. So now we're going to capture those thoughts. So these are all things we have to take into consideration for the new wineskin to be able to retain the wine that Jesus wants to pour into you. So let's just pray. And then I'm going to call up the altar team. You can turn down the lights. Father, I just thank you today for your word. And I thank you for my brothers and my sisters that are all here today. And I ask you, Father God, that the word that was spoken, that you be that reformer to go in and change that mindset. That you begin to remove those thoughts, even from their conscious, their unconscious, and their subconscious minds. Things that have been pre-recorded and keep playing over and over. That you remove that now in Jesus' name. That you begin to just touch every part of their being. That you begin to remove anything, Father God, that does not please you. That you prune your children. Fill them anew, Father God, with your fresh new wine. Fill them to overflowing, that as they receive this word, that your spirit begins to grow stronger within them, overwhelming them with your presence. That they be filled with a fire to know you, a desire to seek you. That they don't make excuses, but that they run to the altar. Run to you, Lord. That you become that consuming fire. Fill them, Father. I'm going to have the altar team come on up. I'm going to ask those that need to come up, and even if you don't need it, come up anyways. And we just thank you, Father, for all that you're doing today. I pray the blessings of God over every single person in this room. I pray for protection over their mind, soul, and spirit. I ask that you be with them, that you guide them and direct them in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way, the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to The Empowered Word.